We live in an alien world, seeks to silence the church more and more as time goes on, and prevent us from fulfilling our mission. What is our mission, by the way? Does anybody know? Why are we here? To spread the gospel, right? To give out the word. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. We just took the missionary offering to help those who are out there in other places doing that. And we here in Phoenixville and area should have that ever in our minds. This is our mission, is to be witnesses for Christ in this world in which we live today. So we must not let the world overcome us. You know, we need to stand against those who would silence our voices and speak forth without hesitation. Rather, it's important that we follow the example that's presented here in this portion of Scripture today. These folks were not ashamed of the Lord in any way, and they loudly proclaimed what they believed. We see three vital elements here that we need to have in our lives in order to be successful as believers. We see, first of all, dedication. Dedication. That's something that we need. Commitment, right? To a task. Serving God with all of our hearts. And here we have Joseph and Mary taking Jesus and doing with him what the Word of God has commanded them to do, right? They are dedicated to doing God's will, dedicated to fulfilling the Word of God. And we have the Bible before us today. Our main preoccupation should be that we are following the teachings of the Scripture as best we possibly can and are committed to honoring and glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, Joseph and Mary took the baby and on the eighth day circumcised him. You know, it tells us that Jesus, when he came, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, the virgin birth, made under the law. And here, under the law, this is what they did, right? At the eighth day, the children were circumcised. And so they took him according to, as it's written, it says, in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So they take him, and first of all, circumcision, and then the next step was taking him to Jerusalem to dedicate him unto the Lord, to present him to the Lord as the firstborn son. Something that from the book of Leviticus chapter 12, if you'd like to look at that sometime, you can see that that's where he's speaking of this and telling us how we are to do. So this is after the period of purification. After the lady would have the baby, there was a certain period of time before she was pure from all of that. And so when Jesus was 41 days old, he was presented to the Lord as the firstborn son of Mary. And so according to the Word of God, that's the point. He's dedicated to God and ready to serve him. And then they offered the sacrifice that's prescribed in the law. Notice, let's look at that. In Leviticus chapter 12, just to get the whole essence of this. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year, for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles, or two turtle doves actually, or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And we notice here the offering that Joseph and Mary brought were the two, it says a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I'm not sure which it was, but anyway. Showing that they were not wealthy people, right? These were humble people that could not afford to bring a lamb, and so they brought the two young pigeons or doves and fulfilled their obligation to the Lord and offered what they desired for the dedication of their son. So it's interesting to remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins, yet his parents here were too poor to offer a lamb. And you think of the circumstances of the life of Jesus. He lived his entire life very simply and never had a great deal, and yet pleased God in all that he did. And did that for our sakes. He showed us the way to go and provided salvation for us. Okay, so this is the first part, dedication. We need to be dedicated like Mary and Joseph were, willing to do whatever they needed to do in fulfilling the word of God. This is the lesson for us today. Obey what God says. No matter whether you understand it fully or not, you know, if it says that, then let's seek to be obedient to the Lord. The second part is adoration. We find here, beginning in verse 25, it starts talking about this man, Simeon. And we find an old man. He speaks of himself as being old, ready to go. There, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, this man, it says he was just or righteous and devout. So he was a faithful believer, follower of the God of Israel, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the consolation of Israel. This is what he's speaking of here. He's the one who has come to bring comfort to his people. And it says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he was a man who had the Holy Spirit with him, who was guiding in his life. Simeon, very common name in the Bible. It means he who hears. And it's obvious that Simeon was one who heard the voice of God speaking to him. The Holy Spirit was with him to give him direction and guidance. And it says in verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This is what was holding him here on earth, right? He was waiting for Jesus to come. And we're waiting for Jesus to come, aren't we? Huh? He's coming again. We're looking forward to that. And we don't know when that's going to happen, whether we will see that ourselves or some future people will. Well, we know that he is coming. And this man, he didn't know either. He didn't know when the Savior was going to come, but he was waiting in anticipation, looking forward to it, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would live to see Christ coming. And that's a wonderful prospect, isn't it? And notice the Holy Spirit was guiding him in verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you can take me home," right? "Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You can just picture this elderly man who has lived for this moment. This is the culmination of all that he desired, was to see that the Savior had come. And of course, all that meant for the future as well, that this one has come to save us. And so the Holy Spirit is leading him. And you say, well, you know, it could be a coincidence, right? This man just happened to be in the temple when Jesus and Mary brought Jesus in. That's like we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, that how God works behind the scenes to do things that you might not even realize, you know. It looked as if, well, they all just coming in the temple. Lots of people coming in the temple. Here's this man, and here comes this family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They bring him in to have him dedicated. But God was behind it all, and he brought about a divine encounter here with Simeon and gave him the desire of his heart. So he sees in Jesus here the consolation of Israel, and he sees him as the Savior, the one who who came to take our sins away. It goes all the way back to throughout how God has led him up until this present time. He's the Lord's Christ. He says, "At thy salvation." And then he goes on to talk about, he says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And then he talks about the fact that Jesus came not only to the Jewish people, but also for the Gentiles. Now this is important for us, right? Most of us, I think, are probably Gentiles. And he says in verse 31, "The one who he has prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." You see? So Jesus came for everyone, didn't he? He's the Savior of the world. Potentially, it's just that we have to receive him. That's the difference, right? We have to yield ourselves to him. We have to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Savior," and take him as our Savior and Lord. If we don't do that, then we're still lost, right? That's the only difference. The person that does not know the Lord is simply walking in darkness and needs to receive the light that he might come to Christ and be saved by believing in him. That's the only difference. That's the only difference in my life. I know before I was unsaved, now I'm saved. I didn't do anything except believe. And God did all the rest. And he says here he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You see? Jesus, the light of the world, and the glory of thy people Israel. That's like the magazine we get all the time, "Israel, my glory." See? And Jesus is the glory of Israel. He's the culmination, the glory of Israel. So then we find Simeon's blessing. Notice what he does. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. He's going to have a great influence on people, right? Some will fall because they don't believe. Others will rise because they receive him. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. So he's presenting here the whole message about there's something that's going to happen that will not seem to be good. Verse 35, a sword will pierce your own soul also. You can imagine Mary. Think about all that she went through. She raised Jesus from the time he was born till he was grown. He went out, began his ministry. He was rejected, was nailed to the cross, and Mary was right there. You can see the sword going through her body, right? You know, mothers are that way to begin with, right? And here, the innocent, faultless Son of God being killed in such a barbaric way, it had to be a terrible situation for her, the sufferings that she endured because of that. But here Simeon is giving a great blessing to them, to encourage them, the whole family. Says he blessed them. And sure, our families certainly need blessings, don't they? The whole family, you know. We need to have the blessings of God upon our lives. And he foresaw the ministry that Jesus would have. And he warned Mary of the pain that she would endure as well. Moving on, we see then there was another person that came on the scene. This time it was an elderly lady. Her name was Anna. It's my wife's mother's name, Anna. And it says she was a prophetess, one who was close to God and who God had spoken to and given her direction, leadership. Now, usually in the Bible we find that men are the prophets, but there are, if you read carefully, there are several ladies that are called prophetesses. And here, Anna was one who had dedicated herself completely to the Lord. Notice what it says about her. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Gives her identification. She was of a great age. And I've always tried to figure this out, and maybe you could figure it out better than I can. Anyway, she was of a great age. There's no question about that. She lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So when did she get married? I don't know. Back then, I think they got married fairly early, didn't they? Maybe 15 or maybe even younger than that. But once she got married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. Apparently, he died. And then she was a widow of about 84 years. Now I'm trying to figure out, was she 84 years old at this present time, or are they adding all those numbers together? And does it really make any difference? I don't think it really does. It's just a curiosity to me. But anyway, we find Anna, this elderly lady, who shows up on the scene, and she's totally dedicated to God. She spent all of her time serving him. It says she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here's a believer who is sold out completely, totally. She has no other interest except living for God, serving him, and doing his will. That's quite the dedication, isn't it? And her husband had died many years before this, and now here she was in her 80s or 90s, perhaps. And but she didn't let her age keep her from serving. Did you notice that? She's still serving God day and night, you know. And she doesn't use that as an excuse to say, well, I'm too old, I can't do anything. You know? Do we do that? Some people are 40 years old and they can't do anything, right? Or 20, you know. And this woman was way on up there, and she was serving God continually. So how do you serve God when you're old? Well, I can think of a number of ways. We serve God by helping other people in whatever way we can, right? By being a blessing. We serve God in prayer. We can certainly do that. And maybe you can't walk as much as you used to. I know there's a number of folks having a little trouble with that, right? We have a knee problem going on here. But we don't necessarily have to be running races or anything like that in order to serve God. We can, you know, write letters or use the internet, say something, you know, that, it doesn't matter how old or how young we are, we need to be dedicated to the Lord, waiting until He comes and looking to Him. So she served God with fasting and prayers. There it is. She spent a great deal of time praying, no doubt. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see, she spread the word. Right? Go tell it on the mountain, right? Huh? Here she is. Anyone she could... could buttonhole, she'll say, yes, did you know Jesus is here? Huh? He's come to save us. Redemption is near. Let's come and see Him. So Anna is a good witness for the Lord. Simeon is there, Anna, these older people. And it seems like, you know, the old is winding down, and now Jesus comes as a baby, right? He's something new. John the Baptist is just 6 months older. So we're beginning something new. And I was reading a little earlier about, it says that they were under the prophets and under the law until John came, and he was preaching the kingdom of God. And Jesus came along with that message as well. And today we are under the dispensation of grace, when we have the wonderful opportunity to know the Lord and to serve Him. So anyway, we see here that she worked night and day. Simeon was there. She spread the good news to all that would listen, unashamedly telling that the Savior had come. And we find then that Mary and Joseph finish up, and they do according. Notice what it says. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they fulfilled what God had told them to do. They returned home. So we have dedication, adoration, proclamation, these characteristics that should be true of every believer, right? We should have that in our lives. It doesn't matter who we are, what our age may be, what our position in life is. We should certainly have these qualities evident in our lives. And God is able to use each and every one of us for His glory, if we only are willing, if we're available, if we'll put ourselves in His hands and allow Him to guide us and to whisper in our ear, to tell us, hey, this is what you need to do. You know? The Lord will lead us if we will allow Him to, through His Word, by His Spirit, and we can serve Him faithfully. He's able to use us in a mighty way if we'll only be willing to proclaim His salvation to those all around us that need to hear it. So, as we begin a brand new year very soon, let's purpose in our hearts to follow the examples of these biblical characters and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and serve Him faithfully. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 688.